Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take the warfare. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all of them. Gotta do stony if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging. Splitting duchies up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish scales, a cop slug. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, they'll get the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you warfare. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see to that.
hit him with irons.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the Land. Revolutionary greeting. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumani Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate culture ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal is spread new African prisoners for release, reducing new African recidivism. Before I bring on the guest tonight, I'll go a couple of events that happened in history during this week during history. On May 9, 1862, three generals organized black regiments without the approval of the Lincoln administration. Black David Hunter began organizing the first South Carolina Volunteers, the first black regiment on May 9. Jim Langston organized the first Kansas colored volunteer in August, and Ben Butler issued a call to the free blacks in New Orleans on August 22, 1862. General David Hunter issued a proclamation freeing the slaves of Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina rebels. Lincoln revoked the proclamation on May 19, returning some 1 million blacks to slavery. In 1952, Lee died in New York City at the age of 45. 1994, joint session of South African New National Assembly, an unanimous elect Nelson Mandela president of South Africa. On May 10, 1952, a free black man named John Johnson was granted 550 acres in North House of Virginia for importing 11 white persons. In 1775, black patriots participated in the first aggressive action of the American forces and captured the first Ticonderoga by Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys. In 1919, a race riot in Charleston, South Carolina, two blacks were killed. In 1951, Z. Alexander Luby elected to Nashville City Council. 1962, South School News reported that 246,988, or 7.6% of the black pupils in public school, and 17 Southern, a border state in the District of Columbia, attended integrated class in 1962. 1988, Robert Brown elected the first black mayor of East Orange, New Jersey. In 2004, the Justice Department announced that it had opened an investigation of the 1955 lynching of Emmett Till in Money, Mississippi. On May 11, 1865, Black held mass meeting in Norfolk, Virginia, and demanded equal rights and ballots. Other equal rights meetings and conventions were held in Petersburg, Virginia, June 6. Vicksburg, Mississippi, June 19th, Alexandria, Virginia, August 3rd, Nashville, Tennessee, August 7th to 11th, Raleigh, North Carolina, September 29th to October 3rd, Richmond, Virginia, September 18th, Jackson, Mississippi, October 7th. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, born in 1933, 1981, Hart J. Fuller, literary critic, editor of the First World Magazine, and former editor of the Black World, died in Atlanta at the age of 57, 1986. Frederick Douglass, Fritz Pohler, football player and coach, and the first black name to an All-American football team, Brown University, died in Silver Spring, Maryland at the age of 92. On today's date, on May 12, 1898, Louisiana adopted a new constitution with a grandfather clause designed to eliminate black voters. In 1910, the 12th through the 14th, the second NAACP conference held in New York City created a permanent national structure. In 1951, former Congressman Oscar D. Priest, the first black congressman in the 20th century, died in Chicago at the age of 80. In 1958, the 12th through the 13th, the summit meeting of the National Negro Leader called for stepped up campaign against discrimination and segregation. President Eisenhower was sharply criticized for a speech that, in effect, urged the leaders to be patient in seeking full citizenship rights. In 1967, H. Frank Brown replaced Stokely Carmichael as chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. In 1970, six blacks killed in race riot in Augusta, Georgia. Authorities said five of the victims were shot by police. May 13, 1862, Robert Small, a black pilot and future congressman, sailed on Confederate steamer, the Planter, out of Charleston, South Carolina harbor, and presented to the U.S. Navy. 1865, two white regiments and a black regiment, the 62nd USCT, fought last action of war at White Ranch in Texas. 1914, Joe Lewis, former heavyweight boxing champion, born. The brutal bomb of the MOU headquarters in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by police. 257 are left homeless in the ensuing fight in Gulf Osage Avenue, and 11 MOU members, including children, are murdered in 1985. On May the 14th, 1867, a riot occurred in Mobile, Alabama, after a black mass meeting. One black and one white were killed. Brazil abolished slavery, 1888. 1961, bus with the first group of freedom riders bombed and burned by segregationists outside Anniston, Alabama. The group was attacked in Anniston and Birmingham. In 1966, Sterling Carmichael named chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. May 15, 1904, Sigma Pi Phi fraternity, the Boule, was founded in Philadelphia. In 1911, Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, founded in the University Incorporated. 1983, photographer James Van Der Zee, who gained fame for his photographs of Harlem, scenes, and citizens, died in Washington, age 96. First, I would like to say free land, those identified with land, revolutionary ingredients. I like free all, say free all the political prisoners. Send shout out to all the people who've been following us since 2014 on our broadcast. Send shout out to everybody in the community who are currently organized and educating themselves or willing to agitate against the system. And I'd like to welcome to the show tonight, Brother Quaziel. How you going? How you doing, good brother?
All is well. All is well. Peace. Definitely excited to be here today. Just loving the information you're giving, and I love it, man. So I'm here. Peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First, I would like to thank you for coming to our platform to show you knowledge you understand. Thank you for the work you did in the past, the work you did in the present, the work you do in the future. And I salute you in your efforts. Before we start this broadcast, I'd like you to share, tell the people about yourself before we get into the situation. Tell the people about yourself, who you are.
Well, I'm Kawase L. I was formerly known as Chris. And so as I started progressing in my life, I started to make decisions as, you know, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer by. And so, you know, that goes all the way back to the Toby story when Toby had the issue. And we know, we all know that story. And so I decided to change my name to my correct appellation and title. Just to be known and recognized by name of who I am and connecting myself back to my astrological and as well. I'm from the area known as LaGrange, Georgia, but that's actually named after a Frenchman. LaGrange is a French guy, and Georgia, of course, is King George. And so these are conquered territories and names that we all go by that shows mentally where we are. And so that's why I say I'm from the area known as LaGrange, Georgia. I'm 28 years of age. I don't have any children, and I'm single. I haven't been to college and got any degrees. I went for computer technology when I first got out of high school. And from there, I kind of wanted to get to the money, you know, young-minded, you know, out with that crowd of people, drinking, going to the clubs, and just doing everything of the world. And so I said, let me go get me some money. So I started working at Mobis, and I was just working at Mobis and working at Mobis. And just as time unfolded, the universe just situated me to be in a different position. It's not that I asked for it. It's not that I wanted it to happen. It's something destined. And, you know, I still try to figure it all out myself every day. So that's a little bit about me, Kawaze L.
Okay. First question is, can you tell us exactly what your name means, what the Quasi L mean, what did it mean, what it signifies?
Right. So Quasi comes from the Gold Coast area. It's now known as Ghana. Quasi means a male born on Sunday. And so, you know how they say the masterminds can trace themselves back. I wanted to leave a track of who I was every chance that I got, not by this physical world, but by, you know, the astral view of who we are. And so Kawaze means a male born on Sunday. And El, well, Kawaze means a male born on Sunday. El is a title of nobility. Some of the, before we got named by our conquerors, we had titles and different things as well that we were known by collectively. And so El is a studious maker of law, someone who knows law, one who can organize, one who can, and when I say law, I mean a spiritual connection of law and, you know, dealing with astrologic, dealing with, you know, the vernal equinox, and just, that, I'm not going to go into that, but that's law, and law is fixed. It's not something that changes, you know. We express it differently, of course, but it's only one law, one universal law. And so my L attaches me back to who we were anciently, dealing with law, principles, and organizing.
Okay. That's a beautiful thing, man. You must always have a name to identify yourself, man, especially your perfect goals and aim. My next question is, I understand that you used to go into the community and pass out the Hidden Colors documentaries and the Will Lynch letter and another important information for the people. What actually encouraged you to do so? What actually were the purpose and goals and aims? You know, what were you trying to accomplish, so to speak?
Great question. When I started looking into it and from that perspective, keep in mind, my path started out, I had a great family, mom and dad married, so I'm not a gangster or a street person, but I growed into that life. I was doing all the things that you would see a gangster and a street person that they would do, but I had a mind of what I should be doing. And so as I manifested into who I was inwardly, I started to see where our people was. I started to see the consciousness was under attack. And it wasn't really about who was right or wrong. That's something that keeps us divided on the way that we mean it, right or wrong. We needed to look more of our consciousness on how we deal with one another, despite if we're right or wrong. And so I started to see the consciousness level. And so my goal with the Hidden Colors and passing out, you know, that Willie Lynch information was not for who was right or wrong, if Willie Lynch was real or not. That wasn't why I was doing it. The reason why I was doing it, or if Dr. Umar was 100% correct. Give me one second. Okay.
I need to go. Give me
the I'm sorry about that, child. Somebody interrupted my broadcast. But I started to look at the consciousness level of our people and a lot of the things that was going on. And so I seen that our people was very argumentative when it came to learning something new or to be debunked of what they thought they knew. And so that was a purpose of trying to raise the level of consciousness, reaching the people at the level which they was at. And I know a lot of times when we gain and we start learning more information, we forget the path which we came from. And so from a person that's more experienced, they may look back at the Willie Lynch and they may say, hey, that's elementary. You know, the Hidden Colors, you know, it's what it is. You know, but what we were trying to do was bring the consciousness. People in the area known as LaGrange, Georgia, have a very low consciousness when it comes to unifying on different levels, whether that be, you know, gardening, whether that be economics, whether that be self-defense. It's always a division concept. And I've walked, you know, damn near all the different avenues of that life, dealing with the gardeners, with the farmers. There's division there for no reason. Then you go over here to the you know, the weapons and the gun training and the defense, and there's division there, you know, and so the Hidden Colors And the Willie Lynch was a purpose of bringing consciousness within our community, because it's a lifelong fight. And so that's like just a phase that we do to reach people that's on that level, and we'll continue to do it. But it's a connection. It's an invisible cord, and we want to make sure that we have everything tied and connected together. And so that's just a phase that we'll continue to do as we bring them out into other things that needs to be manifested into real reality.
True indeed. My next question is, what the catalyst that caused you and others to find Tribe Ujima? What were the catalysts that created that? Was it something, a significant event or something that happened, or what was it?
Well, it was me and Elders O, me and Brothers O. We was out, actually. We was helping a guy in this area in LaGrange, Georgia, was running for the mayor. And so we decided to get out and to help and to aid him in his efforts as just being a common people. You know, I won't say our consciousness was the highest at that time, but we knew that we needed to unify. So we went out and we was helping him. He was running for mayor. We was passing out the pamphlet saying, you know, go vote for him. Let's make a change. Just trying to bring consciousness. The people just are asleep, because I know how dormant I was when I came into this. And so me and Brother Zoe, we was passing out, you know, telling people to go vote, go register. That same thing that people do. And we stopped. And I asked Brother Zoe, condition. I said, do you see what's going on around here? This, now keep in mind, this is just me coming out. I'm still hanging out in the club. I'm just maneuvering over into this type of lifestyle. This is the beginning, maybe 2014, around that time. And so I asked Brothers, though, look at the conditions of the community. We're out here asking people to vote and get registered to vote. Are these the type of people that you want to be voting? You know, and so he said, well, young brother, because we just was kind of meeting then. We didn't really know each other fully. You know, we was kind of just getting to know each other a little better. He said, so, young brother, what do you recommend that we do? Whatever it is that you want to do, then I'll do it with you. That's what Brother Zoe, Elder Zoe said in 2014. And so when he said that, I said, I mean, we got to do something. I don't know what we got to do, but we have to do something. And so that's kind of the beginning of it. Then Mizza, Justin Magruder L, and Edward Merriweather, that was our little hangout group sometimes when we was dealing with information. I know we all get together sometimes. We got the little group of people we can hang out with and deal with information, you know, throw some food on the grill. It was that kind of thing, but it wasn't as sincere and deep as it is now. And so we came back to those guys, those brothers, and we was, you know, just talking. And we began, like you were saying, with the Willie Lynch. We said, look, we got to get out here. That's what we started with. We said, we got to get out here with the Willie Lynch. We got to get out, because we was already on the information, but it wasn't being implied or implemented in any strategic manner, you know, at all, period. And so we just decided, and we didn't write nothing down. We duplicated some CDs. I had a CD duplicator. And so we went, we duplicated some CDs, man. We got a printer. We started printing out the Willie Lynch letter, and we just started walking. We said, somebody got to know this. And so we was passing out the information. And Justin Magruder L came, he mentioned Ujima. I'm not going to say he came up with it, because Ujima comes from it's a Swahili word, and it comes from the Kwanzaa. And so it's the third principle is Ujima. So I don't mean he came up with the word, but he mentioned the word, and we all kind of gravitated towards it. And that's why we see it as an energy. Tribe Ujima is not an organization. Tribe Ujima is not a group in the sense of how the people mean it in their minds. Ujima is an energy. Ujima exists whether we're here or not. Ujima is a mind state. Ujima is something that must be done, that has always been done, even when you look at nature. And so Ujima is found in the collectivity with the seed, the soil, and the rain. All this is the act of Ujima. So we encourage people to act naturally. We encourage people to act as the universe will show them how they need to act. Everything has its season. Everything has its time. Everything has the way it will bring itself out, and it will unfold as a plant will unfold. And so it was us four as the founding fathers of the energy of Tribal Dreamer, just getting together, passing out information. And so that's kind of what got us started.
Okay. If an individual wanted to get in contact with you, Tribe Eugene, how would they go about doing so?
So a few ways you're able to get in contact with Tribal Dreamer is you can visit our website. Our website is www.ujimatribe.net. www.ujimatribe.net. They also can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Tribe Ujima TV. Tribe Ujima TV. And from their website, you'll see our email. And from their email, you can get directly in contact with someone to talk to. We also have a Facebook page, which you can also visit us and become part by going to Tribe Ujima Trust. And just type in Tribe Ujima Trust on Facebook, and you can also connect with us there as well.
Okay. Can you tell us some of the activities that Tribe Ujima do in the community, some of the things that y'all do?
Some of the things that we're currently doing, I'm not going to mention anything that we're going to do, but some of the things that we're currently doing is we have a community clean team, and that itself actually is a job. And the community clean team can create jobs. The community clean team can, by repetition, correct the behavior of depreciation in our community. And the way you do that is by repetition, you hire the children. And you get them to go out into their communities on the same very streets that they live on. So we're not just picking up random places. We're going on the very streets that grandma live on, the very streets that John got knocked out at. We on those streets picking up the trash, knocking on the doors. And so we go into those areas to pick up trash in order to hire the children. We want to hire the children to give them a responsibility, give them that act of repetition, so that when they get older, by repetition, I believe, I trust, and I have faith that if we hire them now while they're young and they get out and they make money and they're with this energy of Tribal Dreamer, that it'll correct how our future is dealt with, you know, in our area. And so that's part of the community clean team, as well as hiring the homeless. So it's targeted, of course, for everybody. But our main goal is to get the children and the homeless employed 5 days a week, you know, part-time job, 4 hours or whatever. You know, they go out into their community, pick up trash, and we pay them. Of course, we talk. We have other assignments that we can send them to, you know, when we're doing the real estate stuff that we do. And so the community clean team is one of the programs that we have. We have a lot of volunteers that we entrust. More will start to come out. More will start to come out and give. What we ask, it's like 168 hours in 1 week. It's like 168 hours in 1 week. So we only ask for 2 to 4 hours of your week. We ask for you to come out into your own community and pick up trash. And so we start, now we have grown to 10. We get more people to come out. They come out for a few hours. Some leave early, but we still give them that pat on the back. We still say, now you're part of that energy. Now you're held accountable for the future and the children. And so the community clean team is aimed at the depreciation value. It's aimed at correcting the future, and it's aimed at self-determination and expansion of Tribal Dream. And so that's a little bit about the community clean team. We also have a chess club that we do 2 times a month, biweekly on Wednesdays, 5 to 7. Right now, we have to use a public place. I think we're trying to start our own global community center where we can be of aid to the whole area. And whatever means that we can be. Of course, our arms are open. We need help. We need ideas. We need assistance in all of that. So if you're looking to be a part, if you're part of Ujima, that doesn't mean you can't be part of something else. It can't mean, it doesn't mean you have to debunk something else that you do. Tribal Jima is an energy, meaning no matter who you are, no matter what group you with, no matter what badge you got, no flag, if you're part of our people and you're part of the revolution and you're part of the movement, then you believe in unity. You believe in working together. You believe in making it happen and not talking about it. And so you can be part of whatever you want to be a part of when you're with Tribal Jima. Tribal Jima is an energy, and it's a connection of the mind. And so the chess club that we have is geared towards the youth. And with the youth, of course, we teach them about life, critical thinking, you know, thinking ahead, planning, patience, seeing life from another person's perspective, execution, and, of course, facilitating choices and not just going after the first gold, the first silver, the first special thing we see, even with your women, even with your boyfriend. Don't go after something that looks good. Analyze it, you know, and see if it's something for you. So chess is, it's also something we feel we're attacking the mind. Everything we do is coming at your mind. It's coming at the mind. But we use programs to meet the people where they are, if that makes sense. So we try to do programs where the people can come out in the mind that they have now, but evolve from it. And we know people can understand picking up trash. People, the children, they want to learn chess. And so we have a group, you know, maybe of 10 to 16. We started out with about 18 to 20, and then it kind of fell off. It was for free, of course. And so you get the certain level of quality parents, you know. And so with that being said, if the reason is good, it's because we that's a lot of children to have about 20 just starting out, just interested. Of course, some dropped off because of transportation and, you know, and other means. And see, that's where this energy comes in at, you know, that's where this energy comes in at, where we can reach all levels of our people. And so it'll, of course, it'll evolve, and we'll have an enrollment fee, you know, an annual enrollment fee to enroll into our chess club, something manageable, something reasonable for the area. It'll be geared towards where we are. So if this program goes somewhere else, it'll change based off of that area. You know, if it's a lower income area, maybe $20 a year. So we're not saying that it's going to be high, but we're saying that we have to practice economics, you know, collectively together. And so we got to do stuff to pull the people out, to make them practice it without them even knowing. And so we meet them where they are. If you don't have $100, do you have 50? Do you have 10? You know, we start somewhere, and, of course, we build from there. And so we have the chess club. We have the community clean team. And those are the two main things that we're spearing as of right now that we're actually doing. And we have events, you know, just random events here and there, you know, Easter, 4th of July, teaching on it. And see, that's why I always say, When we post a flyer, y'all ever see on the page, they're having the 4th of July event. See, this is the art of war. See, I know the art of war, too. And so by knowing the art of war, I understand that we got to reach the people where they are. So to the public, it looks like they're having the 4th of July event. But when you actually get there, now we can change the minds of the lost souls. You know, sometimes, and I understand, you know, I understand. But that's just a mechanism sometimes. We may not do a 4th of July event. We may do Juneteenth and 4th of July just to reach those people. Whatever soul we can reach, whatever mind we can reach, Tribal Jima want to reach. We don't care about nothing past that. We want to reach that soul to bring them out of that by any means necessary of the mind. And so we do that same, you know, belief as Malcolm X, et cetera. And those are two programs that we do, that we have currently, and that we have. So, yes.
Okay, I appreciate it. You mentioned that, like the Easter and George 4th of July, you said getting your mind. Are you implying that during those particular programs, you give a history with regards to how these holidays develop and give the true history and narrative to the thing and perspective from that perspective?
Yes. We when we get them out, we show them what is a weapon. And a lot of times when we think of weapon, when we think of war, we think of one type of that. And so we express to the people how holidays has been used as a weapon to suppress us mentally. Because we know, I mean, we know about those holidays. And so we do what we can do. We reach the people. We may come and have the Easter event. They bring the children out, you know, whatever, to find the eggs. But we may end up talking about a community garden that we're going to do shortly. You know, so we just get the people out, and we find ways to reach them on whatever level that they're on at that time. And so we may have an event. It may be a 4th of July event, but we may get two people that want to join the gun club. You know, it's just about dealing with the people, getting out, interacting, and just staying engaged with the minds of the people in the area that we're in. And the reason that I knew the minds of the people because I was one of them. So I'm trying to, and I'm still in the process of learning. So it's like I'm stepping in one world, remembering where I know they are, trying to bring them out the way I came out. And I know how I came out. So it's like I'm just trying to get them to see, you know, both sides. You know, because I know most people's mind that's stuck into the Jesus, the 4th of July, and just, you know, it's just hammered in their mind. I know the way that they're seeing it. And it's not necessarily a negative. It's the fact that they don't know the history behind it. And so, you know, we come up with different mechanisms. It may, you know, maybe we may do a Christmas food giveaway. Do we care about that type of the Santa Claus Christmas? No, but the winter solstice, yeah. You know, but we may bring them out, you know, like that, and to reach the people. Because the hardest part is to reach the people that are at the lowest points, and I was one of those people. So I know if I can come out and I can do the work that I'm doing, I want to reach those people. You know, I want to reach the people that I was sitting down, that I was smoking the blunts, going to rob people with. That's what I feel like my job is, because I know the passion. I know how much strength and energy they'll put behind it once they're awoke. And it's not too far away. And so, you know, I guess that's my best way to explain that quickly while we're on the show.
Okay. Okay. You said the gun club. What do you actually mean by the gun club? You know, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm part of, you saying like the Huey P. Newton Gun Club? I'm a part of the gun club, Huey P. Newton Gun Club. And when I say, like, if we have an event and we have some guys that come out, we may be talking about how they know 4th of July. And they, you know, they'll be talking about how we gain freedom and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know how to shoot a gun? I'm just showing you how to conversate. You know how to shoot a gun? Yeah, man, I shoot a gun. I like to go. Okay, so you like to shoot. And, you know, of course, and then you'll get to know them, and you'll see where their mind's at. And then if it's something beneficial for them, we may go somewhere, go shooting. Go to a free shooting range and shoot. And just begin to build relationships for one another. And then maybe in the future, hey, I want to be part of the gun club. That's how I got in. You know, I'm just talking, going out to different events. I'm just giving it to you how it works for me. I'm not, you know, I don't know the best way. I just like to tell people what worked for me. And so, you know, that's how I got introduced. Just going to different events, talking about guns. Hey, I want to go shoot. Hey, we got a gun club. Come out, and now, you know, now I'm still here. And so, yes, I don't know the specific question, I guess, but that's kind of how we use the events. Not just for a gun club. We may get some moms that want to start a daycare. And so we start to develop plans and say, okay, what size building do we need? What how can we do this? We're just kind of energy on wherever way we can reach the people. We're just trying to reach them through mental strategies.
Okay. My next question is, how beneficial is it for the youth to learn how to use firearms and protect themselves? How beneficial is it?
How can I word this? How beneficial? This is what I would say to a person. How beneficial is it to have a car with no gas in it? How beneficial is it to have our children grow up and not to be able to defend themselves? How beneficial are they? And so that's kind of the response I would give them. I hope that the people who are listening, can see what I'm saying. How beneficial is a cell phone that's dead? How beneficial is a woman without a man? You know, how beneficial is a community without a leader. And so the learning weapons, learning about guns, is the most beneficial thing we can do in these times. Because when all fails, you have to be able to defend yourself. And in the sense of animals, in the sense of not being able to be in the house, electricity has went out. Now you some kind of storm goes through, and you got to be able to just to defend yourself. Just in general, it's supposed to be an instinct, something natural, and it's sad that we have to view it from a view of you got a choice type of thing. It should have been a human instinct to be able to defend yourself, to be able to, within our community, our people. And I think us in our natural mind would understand we need to train our children to be able to defend the daughters and their moms. I think that would be quite normal.
True indeed. True indeed. My next question is what actually would you tell a young person in the streets who's saying that they want to learn more about themselves? What would you tell them? What would you tell the individual? Or they want to learn how to do better? What would you tell the individual?
If you want to do better, young brother, you first have to change something in your day to day. You don't push it off to tomorrow. I would tell them to kill the act of procrastination. If you want to learn about yourself, go pick up a book about yourself. But if you do it tomorrow, you've already failed. If you say that you're going to do it tomorrow, then you've already failed. It's probably what I would tell a young brother, just me coming off my mind. I would tell him something of that nature.
Okay. That's a good answer. I understand that you're also an entrepreneur, right? Can you tell a little bit about running up promotions? Can you tell a little bit about that and what you got going on, some of the things y'all doing?
Benefits
to the people?
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, Run It Up. Run It Up Promotion is something we just started out with, cameras and going to clubs and videoing people. But we all know that media is a weapon. So, as I go back and I look at where I knew I come from, you know, dealing with that crowd of people, dealing with those type of people, I said, okay, how can I flip this? See, right now people think it's just a closed thing. But we know that media is a weapon. So the more viewings, the more people we can get involved that wouldn't be reached unless you did something that they understood. So a lot of times we can reach a lot of people, a lot of women, by selling clothes. And they say if you change a man, you change an individual. But if you change a woman, you can change the nation. And so Run It Up, we started out with cameras, going to clubs, you know, just videoing, you know, booty shaking, all that cool stuff. And it evolved into to clothes. It evolved to selling clothes. And now I've partnered up with my sister. She opened up a store. And so now Run It Up is, we have a storefront. And of course, from our platform, now we want to begin to teach other people about what they need to know to do the bare minimum. You know, of course, to begin their business venture, you know, dealing with economics and, you know, customer service and how you deal with people, how you act in the business world, and, you know, and carry yourself, and that it's all an act. Look at it as a video game. It doesn't have to be you, but do it because of the cause, and then you can, in the business world. So we're just trying to teach the language of that, you know, from clothes, from the platform of selling food, from the platform of whoever we can reach. You know, we'll pull them in, and we'll begin to evolve. And, of course, like I said, with the Run It Up, if you know, in the future, we'll have a platform, of course, you know, thousands of people that maybe couldn't be reached at that time. And so we'll have those people. So then we can start pushing, you know, information, start pushing stuff out to them. Even if it's through clothes, even if it's through symbols on our clothes that we sell, you see. You know, we can send messages through the clothes. You know, after we build our platform, see, people, they'll like Run It Up Promotions. So Run It Up Promotions, they got a shirt with the case law on it. Let's read it. Damn, the police can't do this. Police can't do that. You know, or whatever. You know, and so it's a lot of different mechanisms and ways we can look at this war we're in to come out shortly on top.
Okay. I want to ask you something about in regards to the war. You say we're in war. Why do you say that we're in war? Why do you say that we're in war?
Okay. The reason I say that is because go up to one of our black brothers, and then go down the street, go somewhere else to another community, and ask him, say, who's that guy? He's going to say, I don't know him. He's not part of my family. And so our people are divided. Our people are divided. And so I hope that gives your answer. I kind of lost my train of thought, but yeah, I digress with that.
Okay. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying in regards to is it like basically the whole thing that you've been saying in general is like the war begins and war starts within an individual mind, right? And mm-hmm. You know, and the oppressor goal is to get the mind of the oppressed so they can control them. For capital means, for educational means, for means of dictatorship, for various other means, political means, those that means as shackles of slavery, particularly any particular means that you can name, that they're going to increase the power and the economic structure and base of the system in general, right? So I understand mm-hmm. exactly what you're saying. You know, the whole aspect of transforming your mind from a criminal mind to a progressive mind, to a revolutionary mind, where you think different and want to do different things in your life. So I'm saying exactly what you're saying, that we're at war. You know, you're actually at the war with your mind first, because your mind is the first oppressor that you come to know. Your mind oppresses you due to the fact that the mind doesn't know itself, where you have a conscious mind that relates to everything you were saying to, especially in regards to the universe, with your ancestors and everything else, right? So it's understanding the truth. Whereas the mind created what we call the ego, which is an image that it wants itself to be, to differentiate and separate itself from the actual truth. So you're actually in a war already within yourself. So you gotta go through your mind and basically say purify your ego, basically control your ego, control your mind, to get to do what you need to do in regards to a positive perspective or a righteous manner, right? And it also relates to an individual changing his or her name. You know, the individual changing his or her name, that they actually change his or her brain to think and function at a different way. They would benefit not only to themselves, they benefit to the community and the people that exist there, that around him or her, he or she. You know, so that basically perspective that we're coming from, right? But I understand exactly everything you're saying in regards to the warfare that been proposed upon us, especially when we come to the education system, which is one thing that you're attacking, especially when the American academic system that teaches us, that doesn't teach us anything about ourselves per se. It teaches us, like Robert Ellen said, to be the invisible man or the invisible woman. They don't want to know that we have a history, we have a culture, we have a language, you know, say we have an origin, that we basically had no power. They want to keep our powerless. They can control us as zombies, manipulate us, you know, utilize us as what we say, human capital, because human capital, it defines any kind of capitalist system in the world. You are anywhere in the world, anything that is built up, constructed, or built, known as a manufacture, or created, it comes out of the mind of man or woman. And all the work is done by man and woman. Even when you have robots and machines, they're created by man and woman as well. You know, so human capital is basically everything. You know, and the base of all this stuff also goes back to land, which is the sign that we see in regard to independence. If you control the land, you control the land, man. You control everything. Like the American Revolutionary about war. You know what I'm saying? Vietnam War about land. Everything about land. you know, because they're the base of things where you function there, right? So by an individual pushing a business perspective and a perspective of economics, it gave a person of a little more economic power, because we've been economic and power for so long, we don't tend to know certain things. And our group, you know what I'm saying, or you want to say African American, you want to say New African, you want to say Moors, or Hebrew, whatever you want to refer to it as, right? We have one of the biggest biopowers on the entire planet. And if we change that biopower around into something positive and actually get something meaningful, then we can build our own independent structure, nation, civilization, or whatever, right? We can do so.
Right.
That only if we unite, like you said, right? We got to unite. And then unification starts within one's mind first, though, you know? So I always applaud you for all your effort and everything you do, man. I've been seeing you for a minute. You know, it was kind of weird. It was kind of interesting how we met anyway, right? Especially in regards to the circumstances, you know? The circumstances, man, you know,
right.
You get interested, you know, like you want to know what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
But everything's all good when you look at it from that perspective, right? No, you got to meet the people where they're at. You know, where are the people at? You got to pull them out. You got to pull them out of where they're at into a different mind state, man. You got to get people to see that it other solutions or other alternatives than what they already doing. If they're selling dope, they're robbing or whatever, you know, it's alternatives to that. Because the system already criminalizes anyway. You know, that just by being in America. You know, it's like Malcolm X said, America means prison. So we are in the prison anyway already. Yeah, by being born here, you know. So those is the things to look at, man, you know, on a deeper level, man. For real. You know,
appreciate how you gave the clarification, man, because I kind of got stuck, but you spoke well on it, man, so I appreciate the clarification on that.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Like you said, it's the art of war, man. It's the art of war that we engage into. But one of the greatest keys of art of war is being able to win without actually fighting. You know, they're one of the greatest keys in the art of war, man. And that's a key that comes from the mind, like you said, you know. We've been losing all the time because they got our minds, our people mind, they got our minds. And the more minds that they have, the harder it's going to be on us who actually have awakened to a different form of consciousness, man, the harder it's going to be. Or to even gravitate to get any kind of momentum going, man. Period, man.
Yeah.
You know, my next question is, can you tell me what exactly is unity? From your perspective.
Unity. I see a lot of people that get together and they take pictures. They say, you know, Black Power, and they start marching and yelling things. I understand. That, to me, that doesn't constitute unity. To me, unity is an ongoing mindset. Unity is not an event. Unity is a way of life. Unity is something that don't supposed to be broken. You can't unify... And then, because of a circumstance, you get out of that's the gang mentality. That's something that was introduced, you know, to our people or something. Because unity is just who you are. It's not even a, you can't disconnect it. Unity is when you buy together, you spend money together collectively. Unity is when you have your own constitution. Your own format of how you deal with one another. You're under your same flag. You're under your own seal. You're under your unification of government to government relations, dealing with nation to nation across the planet. Unity is when you're able to work together to achieve generational outcomes. We had Black Panthers, of course, you know, all way. I miss them. I won't even name anymore. All way to now, but that to now, we're not showing unity. We're not showing unity.
And so unity is when you start something, it is manifested all the way to the end. And so our people have not been unified because we look for divisions. We look to say he didn't do this right. His theory was this. His theory was that. But they were all fighting for, we got to look at the core reason why they all was fighting. But we start looking at the division concepts of it. And so we start disunifying based on, I want to go with this group. I want to go with what he said. That's child, that's children type thing. That we leave that for children. And so it's time now to begin to grow up and look at core principles. You can express it as you choose to express. Cause of what we're talking about, then nothing disunifies you.
Okay. Okay, I got you. I understand, brother. That's a good explanation, man. That's a good explanation. That's a good definition of certain things, man, especially regarding units. That's a good idea, man.
Appreciate you.
No doubt. My next question is, how important it is for an individual to have an economic basis, especially when the country is trying to build a nation or build a structure. How important is it?
A people who don't control their means of economics, meaning we don't even supposed to be using the fiat currency if we want to get all the way real. But that doesn't mean just drop it right now. It's because we got to, it's a game that we must play. But economically, we should really be controlling how we, what's valuable to one another. You know, but we have accepted something and we're controlled by it because it's monopoly. And you cannot truly control if you're going to have it or not because it doesn't really exist. And so economics is a very important piece in thriving generation to generation. If you don't control what's valuable to woman, to man, to child, if you can't control what's valuable to your own people, you don't have economics. You're just playing this game, and you'll be destroyed at the snap of a finger.
True indeed, man. I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to open the line up for the callers so they can ask questions, make statements, and join the dialogue. My next question is, from your own understanding, what exactly is a tribe to you? What is a tribe to you, and what does it mean?
Excuse me, you said tribe, T-R-I-B-E?
Yeah. Yes, sir, tribe.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, a tribe to me is, one, a nation is made of many tribes. And so, as one nation, a tribe is a distinct group of people who do them, collect, they're all unified, meaning this tribe like green shirts the best, but they'll wear blue shirts. And this tribe over here likes red shirts the best, but they'll wear green shirts. But they're unified because they're all wearing shirts. You know, I'm just saying it in that aspect. So a tribe, to me, is a distinct group of people who recognize that they're part of another bigger, larger body of people who works together to benefit that tribe, with also benefit for the nation in whole. And so a tribe is a garden of flowers, and they bloom the way that they bloom, but they're still part of earth, and they still need water to grow.
Okay. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our platform and show you how to really understand it. Again, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing, the work you did in the past, the work you're doing in the present, I mean, the work you're doing in the future. I salute your efforts. At this time, we'll open up the call line for a couple of callers to ask certain questions and make statements and make announcements. Okay, so I'm going to open up a caller. I'm opening a call. Let's see. Let's see. 614-285. Your line is open. You're in question time for the gift. For you do so. At the time, your line is open. 614-285. Your line is open. 614-285. Your line is open. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go to another call right quick. Let's see. Okay, 786-382, your line is open. You got a question coming for the gift. Please just say the time your line is open. 786-382, your line is open. Are you on your question and comments or are you free line?
Right. Yeah, this brother Black Cloud, I actually came in kind of late. I heard the ending of the brother, you know, it's crazy up in the tribal gym. I came in kind of late. You were talking about the unity, and I just want to say I appreciate everything you're doing. You know, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. But I just want to know, like, is you on any type of, like, YouTube or Facebook so I can go check, like, the work you're doing?
We got a YouTube. We'll start putting more on it. It's actually new. But we got, like, two videos on there. We're starting to put some of our old work. We'll be putting new work on in our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Tribe Ujima Trust. Tribe Ujima Trust. You'll type it in on Facebook, answer the three questions. And somebody will let you in, Tribe Ujima Trust. And from there, you'll get access there. The YouTube is Tribe Ujima TV. Tribe Ujima TV.
Tribe Ujima TV.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Right on up. Okay, bro, I see you right here. I got you. Yeah, I'm finna subscribe right now, brother.
Peace.
All right, peace.
Okay. You got anything else to say, Black Cloud? That's it.
Yeah, that's about it. And I ain't really hear everything they was saying. I caught them at the end. You know, I'm a little late. But I heard them saying something about watering them plants. And I was out there watering my garden and getting my stuff together. So I came on late. But, yeah, see the man, brother. Peace.
Peace.
Okay. I didn't mean that, sir. Peace, bro. Okay. Hold on. Okay, I'm opening the line back up again, man. Let me see. 614-285, your line is open. You have a question, comment, statement to make at this time. Please do so to tell your line is open. 614-285, your line is open.
Thank you for your persistence. Thank you.
For your line, little mom, son.
Thank you. I'm holding on. As the elders say, I yet be holding on. I'd like to ask you, answer a question for me. I either don't know to ask of you, or I know, but I can't formalize it and express it. Answer that question for me, something that you think I should know and that you want to share, and I thank you in advance.
Woman is the layer of the law. So when I spoke on law, it was in reference to length, angle, and width. LAW, length, angle, and width. And so what's not expressed is understood. So the most that I can do is to let you know that we give thanks to all the mothers who have cultivated and laid their sons here on earth to be planted, to do the work that our empresses need to be done. And so
I just give thanks that we have the strong women who have brought us this far. So now it's time for the young sons to turn on the furnace and watch the flame. So I thank you for being a woman and for cultivating us and for getting us here to where we are today. So I hope that gives you a little something. What keeps me pumping is knowing that it's people like you on the phone listening, wanting better out of their sons, wanting better out of their people. And so it's that flame, my furnace burning. It's that alone. And so I give thanks to you for being on the call today and participating.
You're welcome. And thank you.
Peace, peace.
Okay. You had anything else to say, Edda Mama Connie?
The rest that I have to say, Bomani, I don't have words for.
Okay.
Right at this moment, I don't have words for it. I've been in this really interesting spiritual space today. When I spoke earlier today to one of my brother's sons, I was telling him that I saw him the way I saw him. I'm blind, by the way. The way I saw him was standing in the midst of morning dew, fog, and where clouds meet. It's just been that kind of day. So I'm going to be quiet. And again, thank the young brother for sharing who he is, what he is, and why he is. Thank you for, remembering that.
Peace.
Yes, ma'am. Find the symbol for the conscious mind. I got you. I got you. Okay. I'm up online for another call right quick, man. Okay. 901-292, your line is open. You got a question, comment, statement to make, please do so at your time. 901-292, your line is open. Go ahead.
So free the land, and this is Mama Io.
Pardon me, yes, sir.
I am, I will. I really enjoyed what I did hear of the young brother and your passion and your vision and definitely your experience in working with our young people and trying to, you know, turn a mindset, because it's very, very difficult in the face of everything that goes on in the hood, as I would say. So I really, really want to congratulate you and honor you and encourage you to stay on this mission, because when I say all of us as a community, we have a lot more work to do, a lot more reteaching, relearning of ourselves, and of course it always begins with self. So I through your narrative, I saw that you have worked on self so that you could be of service to others. So I really want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
So one of the things that we I can't hear you, brother.
Oh, excuse me. I really appreciate that.
Just to let you know that, you know, we're going to be sending you all energies and support, and we would love for you to do the same with the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa, to let our children and youth know that they have to be just to find out who they are and what their God-given talents and mission should be, and to encourage them to put it to the service of the race, because Right now we are we're under all kinds of attacks, misinformation, lack of information, lack of cultural values, and so we are kind of recreating ourselves in this paradigm. And one of the things that I thought I heard you say was just, you know, trying to make sure that our women are supported, especially by brothers, by being, you know, just maybe extra attentive to sisters who are natural, sisters who are trying to live better lifestyles, sisters who are trying to instill values into their children that need the male, that male energy, to say, well done, sister, we support you, we honor you. Definitely teaching the youth to be respectful to the elders, respectful to women, their sisters, their mothers, even though their mothers and grandmothers may not have the information that they're getting. They were able to bring them forth, and they have stood steady in the community and tried to do the best that they could do under the conditions. So one of the things that I wanted to ask, so how do you deal with those youth, both young people and brothers, who are leaning towards the organization, the street organization?
All right. So the way that I would approach that is I would look at it individually. And so we're looking at people that want to be part of the street. So what I would try to do is I like to get an understanding, because it's different from young person to young person. It's totally, the meanings are totally different. And that's, I think, where our problem lies. So after I can understand what it is the street to them, you pull out whatever that is in them. If they're saying that they're an animal, they got to do this, they got to do that, find something equivalent to that that they can do, whether that's a gun club, whether that's boxing, but have the means to set it up for them to get started. If you're some kind of animal, you gangster, you're a street person, hey, I know you can make some money over here if you can lash in the ring. And before you know it, he'll be teaching the other young brothers how to box. And so I try to reach them wherever they are, you know, just to get an understanding. If you feel as if you don't have an understanding with that individual and you can't reach them, you know, we got to have an understanding. And after we can reach that understanding, then the world is ours. And so look for an understanding. Get to know them first. And it may take time, but we can't teach people who we don't know. And so it's hard to go teach people, you know, who we don't know. Even though that we should know them, you know, even though they should be like our mind, I had to look at how it is. They're not. And so we have to have an understanding. If we're not able to understand one another, we're not going to teach nobody nothing.
I definitely concur with you. That's beautiful. Well said, brother. Well said. So,
just to add on to that, like we go back to nature. We got to look. We have to look at nature. Actually, gives us the answers. And so a lot of people, they don't want to push for that understanding, but nature shows us that you have stages, you have seasons, and there's each individual on this planet has their own season and their own mind. And so if just because we're over here and we've been doing the work for 10 years, when you go over here, you can't be too caught up in that 10 years of work. You have to start back over with the individual and know that he has his seasons and that his mind will unfold as the seasons of nature unfolds, and it won't be different. Once we can understand that, then we can understand how significant it is to get to understand them. Because once we understand one another, we fight different in war. We grow, we do everything different. I can go get a group of people that I don't understand, and then another person can have a group of people, a little less, but they understand all of each other. The people who have understanding is going to come out victorious. those who are confused, they're at the battlefield with one another. So how can we come to a battlefield already confused? So we have to have understanding with each individual. If it's a million people, can I still repeat? As leaders, we must have an understanding with each individual. It's the only way to reach it.
Well said. Thank you. Thank you. And that's very, that's that. Well, we call it, because we're New Africans, that spirit that we know, because we believe in the spirituality, humanity, and genius of Black people. So when we can meet and reason on that level, it's a wondrous thing, because, you know, no matter what, we are tied in to divine law, everybody. So when you talk about seasons, we talk about law, truth and justice and righteousness, law and order. And truth is truth at the bottom line. And one of the things that we would love our youth to know is, what is your truth? What is your history? Because if you don't know your history, you can't know where you're going. And in relationship to what has happened to us here in America and in the places that we live. So that's the tools that I hear you saying that you're trying to give to our youth. And it is critical. It is a critical thing that you're doing. So, again, I commend you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. You have anything else to say, Mario?
No, just make sure we keep his number. Yes, and I think I copied down your website. Is that correct, brother?
www.ujimatribes.net. And like I say, our arms are open. We need all help. You know, we're not further off than anybody. That's just our website. You know, but we all need to be unifying, you know, and find ways that we can work together on a stronger level. We're just who we are. We're not anything special at all. And so I think that we all have a lot to offer, and that it's something big that we must pull out of this. You know, it's more than just this conversation. This is part of a season. So I look forward to growing and to see, you know, the rest of the seasons with you all.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Ben.
Peace.
All right,
Peace. Right, I mean, that's it. Okay. We had another caller. The brother dropped out. I'm going to wait till he come back on, man. My brother dropped out. I got a question for you.
Okay.
From your understanding, what exactly does revolution mean to you? From your own understanding.
Revolution to me is to take our world back.
Okay.
Take our world back. Not a continent, not an area. Revolution to me is to take our world back. And what I mean by that is not where other people are suffering, where everybody can live and thrive as they need to.
Okay. I got something to ask you about it. In regards to the take back, what it function on a level of mental, or is it physical, or is it a combination of both?
Yes, I would say it's a combination of both. The reason is we have a world in our mind. When we have been tampered with in our world, meaning in our house, in our comfortable thoughts, the way that we was you know, the way we appreciate one another. The way that we just dealt with one another was a world in our own mind, because we see now that it's not that. That's why I say that. So if that wasn't its own world, then what is this now? And so I see that we've been taken out of one world and placed into another. And so upon taking our world back of thought, just loving one another, appreciating people, helping people for no reason at all, and standing up for injustice. It doesn't matter who you are or what you got on. It really does not matter. It's just right is right and wrong is wrong. Once we get back to that understanding in our own world of thought and stop worried about what this statue and code say, because it don't even apply to you. It really don't. Not because I said it. We're worried about stuff like, you know, I'm just saying, a lot of people worried about a seatbelt ticket. They stressed out about it. Thing. So they got us in a whole nother world of somebody in LaGrange, Georgia is worried about their seatbelt ticket, their marijuana charge. All this is another world. They're worried about their child support that they have to pay. They're worried about this fine. They're worried about, you know, what this person's going to do, their probation violation is going to, because we don't know law. We're out here violating the very laws that were set up for us, and we're worried about the outcome of it. We mad at other people type of thing. And so once we correct our world, of course we're under attack, our world is under attack. And so that's what I mean by taking our world back, to take back our thoughts. And, you know, and after we can think, as we need to think, manifest from the mind first. So if we could take our world back, then everything else manifests correctly for everybody, because it'll be in harmony with Earth. So anything that's not in harmony with Earth, then that's on them, you know. And so taking our world back.
Okay. I know you all mentioned law numerous times throughout this broadcast, right? I'm gonna ask you a question. Okay, from a legal perspective in regards to so-called American law, right? Can you tell us some laws that are beneficial to us, and how can we people utilize to actually liberate themselves or gain some kind of freedom or gain some type of control over their own destiny in life?
I actually have something that I think, if we listen sincerely, can change you forever. In the law realm, the next sentence that I say can change an individual in the law area forever, if he chooses to stand on it. So get out your pencils and make sure you challenge this. You know, challenge it and see if it's true or not. And then if it's true, then we got a big problem. Legally, people assume, I'm just gonna say it. People assume that they're United States citizens. They say that I'm a United States citizen. They think that the birth certificate is a document of citizenship. People think that they are a United States citizen because they think that the birth certificate was a document of citizenship. And that's where our roots have failed in the law area. And so we show a driver's license. We have tags on our cars. And now I seem radical. But if we come to an understanding, maybe I'm not. And so we have identifying documents that we have, that we carry with us, that we use, that puts us in a legal venue of being something with the United States. And it doesn't matter what it is. And so And so that's where our problem lies. If we can understand that, then we will immediately start using treaties. We will stop talking about their constitutions, talking about I got a Second Amendment right, as if that gave you the right to bear arms. You're saying that if there wasn't, not nobody on the call, but we're saying that the Second Amendment, had it not been for this Second Amendment, if they delete the Second Amendment, then I can't bear my guns. I can't carry my – that's false. That's false. We got to kill that narrative. That has nothing to do with us bearing arms. But when we go to their legal venues, we're saying that our Second Amendment gave it to us. But the origin of that is not for us. And I'm not going to go all the way into detail. Maybe we can set up other things, you know, where we can go into more detail. But that's where our problem lies. And not saying that the United States officials are not held. They're held to that. But we have to know the difference, the different worlds of thought. And we have to understand that we have a law and that we're recognized internationally if we so choose to be unified mentally. And the reason I'm not going to go into detail, because I want people to be wondering. I want questions. So I'm not going to just say everything to see where we are. But the birth certificate is not – write it down. Google it. Citizenship. See, we got to Google just city. Look, get you a Black Law Dictionary and just look up citizenship. What is citizenship? We saying that we got citizenship with the United States? And so that's where our problem at. Because outside of that, we don't know how to operate. Outside of that, I'm tripping. Outside of that, he going crazy. And that's the problem. And so people walking around saying that they want a revolution, but they got documents from the enemy. The first principle of international law is self-determination. We scared to identify ourselves. They're not going to accept it. You already defeated. Look at your response. We saying they're not going to accept who I'm saying that I am because you don't have a body politic of people. Where is your government? Where's your government structure? Where's your militia? And so that's what somebody will say. They won't accept it. Who won't accept? What are you talking about? Our concepts are wrong. We're at home, and this is our planet. And so the more we understand, but not, I don't mean that on the level of how I would have heard that in 2014. I mean that on a high octave. But we have to understand that it takes work to say that and to do that. It don't take no work to say that. A lot of work to do that. And that takes unification. That takes unifying. That takes diplomatic relations and government structure, consular courts. And that's a big problem I see. And we start saying that we have Second Amendment rights as if we couldn't say that, then we couldn't have guns type thing. And that's the problem I see in a revolution. You know, we have to understand on the international level, same concept. Everything's still the same. But we're arguing something inside of the United States, which is a territory owned by the Crown, a British company. And so when we realize that, you know, our problem here is the same problem everywhere. We're just divided. Many tribes divided in their worlds of mind. Everybody at home, the planet. And you know, and we're just divided because we're accepting another man's law as our own, and we won't fight it mentally. We got to be a United States citizen. I got to show this driver's license because anything after that, we don't know what to do.
True indeed. That's quite interesting that you're saying that because. I understand up on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on the United Nations that one of the standpoints said every individual had the right to their own particular nationality. They had a right to nationality, right? And nationality entails having a nation, having a government, having a landmass, right? So you're actually looking at things from a state of being independent. for looking at a state of being independent. And independence is a state of liberation, a state of freedom, and it's a state of being in control of everything in your own environment, in control of your own economics, controlling your own schools, in control of your own hospital, in control of your own militia, like you said, your military, in control of your own resources, be it solar panel, be it water, be it your own agriculture, your own farm, things of that nature, right? So I understand exactly what you're saying in regards to respect and everything, right? You know, and the thing here that been echoing all throughout this whole conversation is the aspect of unity, right? It been many formations, many organizations, many governments, many heroes, many sheroes within our history, our story and origin, right? But one of the things we've been lacking throughout this time is unification. Unification has been a principle that we've been lacking. And every time we try to get unity in any kind of form or fashion, y'all will be the same individual that look just like us that takes us down, that destroys us, right? And one of the things I love that you actually doing is you building people to be critical thinkers. And you know what I'm saying? You build a philosophical school of thought, so to speak. You building thinkers, you know, and the thinkers is in my philosophy, how I look at things, that we must be a thinkers to be greater than the next thinker, because as long as we be a thinkers, we actually find out how to strategize and get out of the situation that we're currently in. I'm not saying that it's going to happen overnight, but in regards to the continuation, like the oppressor does, the oppressor set up a system, they're going to work 500, 600 years. They're going to work through our families. They're going to work through our time, generations. You know, we got to think the same way, to think even greater than that, because in all actuality, they are not more intelligent than we are. The only thing they're doing is they're using our intelligence against us. They're using our intelligence against us, right? You know, so right. Looking at from that particular sense of things in regard to unification, we can win in numerous ways. You know what I'm saying? If we so choose to. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when you look at a lot of these imagery and pictures, the image of a table. And on the back of the table, it backs a lot of people. And if they stand up, off the table, well, the table the imperial is at. You stand up off the table, that they whole system, the imperial system, going to be destroyed, man, because they are no longer human capital anymore. They're no longer property anymore. They're no longer chattel slavery anymore. So I was saying, I'm saying everything exactly you're saying, right? You know, which is a beautiful expression, man. And I applaud you, brother. No, that's a young brother. That want to do something positive in life. They want to make a change, man. They want to be significant. You know, they want to encourage and motivate others, man. I applaud you and those efforts, man. You know, sure, I applaud you and all your work, man.
You know, you had me when I was just a little pup, man. You know, you mold me a long way, man, and still live here today. And so I thank you, man, and brothers like you. Had it not been for brothers like you, it wouldn't be brothers like me. So we're all connected by invisible strings.
I can dig it.
And so we just got to keep playing that instrument, man. I appreciate you, man.
No doubt. I appreciate you, brother. But with that being said, man, can you give your final thoughts? What are your final thoughts, man? You know, if you want to share any kind of information, if a contact, YouTube pages or Facebook, whatever, do so at that time. And you also can get your final thoughts, you know. Just whatever you want to leave us with.
Well, I want to give thanks and appreciate the George Jackson University for having me on and for everything that they're doing and is going to continue to do. I ask the people to stay sincere. Don't accept it until you have accepted. You have time, you know, in your season. We can't force nothing. In your season, if you don't feel like you're ready, then still work on you. But when you step out there into the world and you choose to be different, just walk that walk until your time is up so that people are sure and that we won't be confused, you know, and continue to be confused. We have to have more brothers and sisters to just walk the walk and to the end, and everything will manifest in this season. The problem is that we haven't recognized. We just still going by, type thing. It's spring, it's winter, it's this, and we're not recognizing the seasons inside. We just thinking, we just looking at a calendar and saying, oh, spring is coming. It's the new year, and I'm going to make a new year. No, it ain't no new year. You know, that's just talk. The new year is in your mind. Nothing ain't going to start until you start it in your mind. And so we ask that when you take on that, just be sincere and just walk it to the end. And it's always you're not alone. It's people out here. It's thousands of people. But we all feel alone. And so we got to start reaching out more. We got to start getting with those brothers and sisters who want to get active. Don't worry about what people are not doing. Deal with your season. In your season, you will find people that's doing what you're doing. And just don't worry about nothing else. And begin to manifest what you're passionate about. Because if you're not passionate about it, if you're doing it for Facebook likes and all of that, then you get your results. But once you find that path and you find what's sincere in your life and what you want to do, then walk that walk until the end so that people are sure.
And
sure, I digress.
Sure indeed, brother. Again, I want to thank you, brother, for the work you're doing, man, you know, and I wish you success in your particular endeavors, man. You know, be it economic, be it national, be it political, be it social, be it psychological. I wish you success in all your endeavors. And if anyone has any loved one, associate, comrades, or friends behind enemy lines, please look into our website, which is www.georgejacksonuniversity.com. Again, that's www.georgejacksonuniversity.com. Long live you have independent movement, long live resistance, free all political prisoners, free all prisoner of war. Peace.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
You know what gang violence is, mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this? Somebody shoots your family member. So, of course, you retaliate.
Right here,
you know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, somebody bombed a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killer.
This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
The revolution of premeditated scheme, introducing drugs on crack to a ghetto team. Got along for born niggas now, play of what it be like. When will niggas see they got us leading with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless, with violent thoughts I wrote this. Got the devil petrified, hot from my heart to focus. And so I learn to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, so we dwell inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealing from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit kick, we block hit. Or I drop sick, all hell, I don't bail. Wrath, that's apocalypse. Forever ghetto, necessary picture food stamp. Outlaw thugs, niggas never left the food camp.
We got a real life shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back.
DJ
from my soldiers to death, we got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back.